Parshas Pinchas is a fascinating limud to find how an individual, an anonymous individual, even a bullied individual, found for himself a place in Jewish history that is almost unmatched. The parsha, like we discussed last year, the amazing phenomenon of who Pinchas was, and that in fact Pinchas was somebody who was probably one of the most least likely people to do what he did, and still he did it. We discussed last year from the Zayin of Torah.
Yes, ma'am.
Last year we discussed from the Zayin of Torah, the pasuk begins and it says the chiddush of what happened in the first pasuk. Pinchas ben Eloz ben Aaron HaKohen. Pinchas is a little yud there. Yud Zeir in the word Pinchas. So the rabbis say Pinchas, a little yid Zeir, a little yidler. He's a little Jew, an anonymous person. We never heard his name before. Pinchas ben Elazar, ben Aaron HaKohen. He was ben Elazar. He was a Kohen. He wasn't necessarily a Kohen, so he came from Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi were the tribe that never went out to battle. He never learnt how to use a weapon. On the contrary, the Gemara says that Kohen Shehorag es hanefesh einan neses kapov. A Kohen who kills somebody cannot do Birchas Kohenim anymore. And therefore, it was unlikely that little Yidl, a little Pinchas, ben Elazar, ben Aaron HaKohen, Aaron HaKohen's Oyev Shonav Redev Sholim. These were, lack of a better word, pacifists. These people were loving people. How did he possibly do what he did? And that's what we discussed last year, the chiddush of the ability to do what he did. This year, I want to discuss not the chiddush of what was done, but the chiddush of how it was done. In other words, how does a person like Pinchas do what he did? What gives him the strength? What gives him the ability to do something that nobody else managed to do? And it's not something that is irrelevant. We'll see later on, it's something which is extremely relevant for ourselves. How was Pinchas able to do what he did? Where did he get his strength from? So I heard a shiur a few years back, many years back, from Chaim Kaufman. And a lot of the Shia, I'm going to say today, is based on his Limudim, and should be in the Shomer for him. Let's start off with the first Rashi.
He was a
Mashkiach? He was one of the Shivas of Shivas Tiferes Yaakov in Gateshead. Let's see the first Rashi. Fantastic. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Says Rashi, we don't find regularly in the Torah that one is Meyaches and goes back so many doors back. Says Rashi, why do we say Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron? Why does he say that? The fish hoya hashvatim vazanay. So you all know this Rashi, because the shvatim, the tribes, were abusing him. They were teasing him. They're bullying him. Harisim ben Puti zeh. Did you see this ben Puti? Shepitaim avi imoy agolim lavoydazara, whose grandfather Yisroi through his mother's side stuffed agolim. Stuffed calves of Avodah Zorah. In other words, he was the Archbishop of Avodah Zorah. He, you know, who is this guy already? V'horag Nosi Shevet Yisrael. And he goes along and he kills a Nosi of a Shevet Niklal Yisrael. This Nosi wasn't Sama Nosi. This Nosi was 250 years old, according to many Mepharshim. Zimri was 250 years old. He won the Zakan HaRosh Hashivas, Zakan HaNasiim. And this Ben Puti, this guy with a very, very weak kind of yichus, comes along and he kills a Nosi. Lefikoch bo'akosu v'yachsoi acha Aaron. And therefore the Pasuk comes along and says, no, you're making a mistake. It's Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. He's not from Ben Puti, he's a son, grandchild of Aaron. Very nice. He's still a grandchild of Ben Puti. He still is a great-grandchild of Yisroi. And therefore the bullying, the teasing, the making the mockery can still go on. You know, you're saying that he's Ben Aaron HaKohen. I know, but it's not taking away the fact that he was the grandson of Yisroi, who was Oda Avodah Zorah. And therefore, what right does he have on that side? He has a flaw to him. This person is not a Yichus, he's not a Yachson. He doesn't have the full clear lineage to have the right to stand up against a Nosis Shev Yisrael. So what does it help with the Pasuk to say Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen when it still has lurking in the background there the Yichus of Yisroi? So there's a well-known vault, and I think we just said this several years back, but it's important to say it over again. There's a Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara says in Yuma Daf Chof Gimel. We all know that to do the avod in a base mikdash was a special privilege, and it wasn't always that every kohen could have a part in doing the actual avodah of the kabbonis or the kabbonis tzibur. And it was a big privilege. So in the later stages, they did it through a pious. The Mishnah discusses that a pious is some kind of lottery where they would there would be a counting, they put your thumbs out, and the count according to how many thumbs would go around. But that was later on. Previously, before that, before they changed into a pious, the Gemara says there would be a race. And the kohenim would run up the kevesh, and the kohen who got to the top of the kevesh first, he won the right to do that avodah. And the Gemara says that two kohenim ran up the kevesh, and it was a very, very close. And in the heat of the moment, one kohen took a knife and stabbed another kohen to death. And the father of this kohen sees his son dying on the floor, and he says to the kohen, quickly, take him out of the azora. He's a goyseis before he is metame the azora, till he makes the kalim and the azora impure. A goyseis is a person who's about to die. So the Gemara asks a shayla. The Gemara says, "Iboy lohu, shvicha stomim hu dezoil, avl taharas kalim kadekaima kaima." How can the father be so in touch with the situation? How could he be so focused? Is it because he didn't care so much about the kalim in the base of Mikdosh? Is it because? Sorry. He didn't have that much care about the Kalim Mason Medrash, correct. But, so therefore, what's he getting so worked up about? You know what? He didn't care, Shvich Tom didn't mean that much to him. And therefore, he was able to focus on the smaller details of the Kalim that weren't really that important, because Shvich Tomim, death wasn't that important to him at all. He grew up where meat was cheap. Alternatively, says the Gemara, Oidilma, Shvich HaStomim Kedekai Mekaima. Shvich HaStomim was as strong as it should be. Avataras Kalim Huda Chamira. In other words, he had the correct perspective when it comes to death. And that was correct. But that making the Beis Hamikdash Tomei was so strong to him that he couldn't possibly take. In other words, what was his motive? Was the motive the fact that he didn't care about death, or that he cared so much that something should become Tomei? Lamai Nafgimina. What difference is there? He did what he did, and he did a good act by saving the Azor from coming Tommy. Say all the Bali Musa. They learn from this Gemara that one person can do an act, and it's all about the motive. If the act was done in a way that was l'shem shemayim, that was done for a good purpose, he'll get schar. If the act was done for a bad purpose, you'll get an oinesh, even though the act could be seen as exactly the same. With Pinchas, the late Sonim said, look at this Oyel Avodah Zorah, Ben Oyel Avodah Zorah. He's a terrorist. He's a wild guy. He's got genes from him from Yisroi. This guy is not a pure breed. He's not a thoroughbred. He's like these Schwarzes in Harlem. They get a bit roughed up, they take a knife out, and they stab somebody. That's Pinchas. He did an act which is a wild act. He may have stopped the Magepha. Coincidence. But that act was a bad act. It came from a Shoresh. It came from a root of somebody who was perhaps even defending an Avodah Zorah. His grandfather Yisroi was the Archbishop of Avodah Zorah that respected Avodah Zorah. And here Klal Yisrael are disrespecting Avodah Zorah by doing Baal Pa'oi, which is the ultimate disrespect of Avodah Zorah. So he is getting worked up, he's getting upset. And therefore, he did that act in order to protect the interests of Avodah Zorah. And therefore it was a bad act. And that's what they say, look at Ben Putizer, he did this act as an act of wildness. This person is a wild person protecting Avodah Zorah. Says the Torah, no, you're making a mistake. He's come from a completely different motive. He's Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. He was somebody who had a motive of Oyev Sholem Veredef Sholem. This was a act to make peace between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is a peaceful act. This wasn't wild. This was a motive of actually saving Klal Yisrael, of stopping Chil Hashem, of stopping Avodah Zorah. He was working with the genes that he had from Aaron HaKohen, who was Oyev Shalom V'Reidev Shalom. Oyev Shalom V'Reidev Shalom means you love peace, and sometimes you've got to chase away peace sometimes. Reidev Shalom, chase away peace. In order to make peace, peace is not about being all friendly always, and I hear where you're coming from, and I agree with you. No, sometimes peace is to kill somebody. That's what happened over here. Peace was to make peace between Klal Yisrael and Rabbeinu Shleilam, was to take somebody who's doing a Chilul Hashem and kill him. Not something one does on a daily basis. But this was the root of Pinchas. Pinchas was a Oyev Shalom V'Reidev Shalom. Rabbi Chaim Brisker says, you know, in England, not sure you get in America or anywhere else, but in England, if a person is a war hero and he dies at war, he gets the biggest prize he gets is a VC cross. The VC cross is like for the Victorian cross is a special medal one gets after death. I don't know how it helps, you know, this poor victim very much, but you get it after death. It's a very, very big honor. It's a VC cross. That is by a war hero. A person who is a peacemaker gets a Nobel Peace Prize. Generally. Okay, Arafat's an exception, plenty of other exceptions. But generally, a person who attempts to make peace gets a peace prize. Says Reb Chaim Brisker, why over here does Pinchas get es brisi sholim, the peace prize, the bris of sholim? It's not a bris of sholim at all. She had a bris of milchama. He went and did an act of milchama. Says Reb Chaim, no, that this wasn't an act of what you call a wilder act, a wild act, an act of aggression. This was a peaceful act. And sometimes within peace, you've got to do very, 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 I'd say, not only complicated, but even against your own character, to do what's necessary. This was the Umas Olam, not the Umas Olam, sorry, the Leitzonim was saying, look at Ben Puti Zesh, Pitim Avi Imoi, Agolim. And the Torah is saying, no, this is not aggression. This is Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Not anything. For example, let's say a generous person. A generous person, you go to him, he wants to give tzedakah. And the person gives tzedakah. And he gives tzedakah to yeshivas, he gives tzedakah to kohelim, he gives tzedakah to poor people, to rich people. Any person who goes to him, he gives tzedakah. You know what? He gives tzedakah to missionaries too. Knock on his door, speak nice, and give missionaries too. Is that a great act? It's not a great act. The act to give has to be done in a way that is thought out, that there's a clear motive behind what you're doing. To be just generous without a thought is ridiculous. You get a person who's a mingy miser. Anyone who goes to him, he doesn't give to, including missionaries. Good! He doesn't give to missionaries. But if Rosh Yeshiva goes to him, he'll give him $10 as well. Is that good? Certain things he's doing is good. One has to know the motive. Everything one does, one's got to have a motive. You know, the Chazal say, the Ashrei maskil al dol, Pasuk says in Tehillim. Ashrei maskil al dol. Fortunate the person who is wise to the dull, to the poor person. So the Manal of Gateshead says to him, does a poor person need your seichel? Does a poor person need your intellect? The poor person needs your money. The teretz is, a poor person needs you to know what he needs. Sometimes you give a person large amount of money. Sometimes you give a person little bit of money. You have to use your intellect in every situation to be able to gauge exactly what is needed, and to focus and do the act that's necessary. The Pasuk says, Pesoyach tiftach es yodcho. Pesoyach tiftach es yodcho. Open your hand for tzedakah. What's Pesoyach tiftach es yodcho? Why open your hand? So the Manal of Gateshead says that when you close your hand and your fists are clenched, all the fingers are exactly the same. Only when you open your hand do you notice that every finger is a different length. He said, Pesoyach tiftach es yodcho. When you give tzedakah, open your hand. Identify the individual needs of each person. Every different situation requires a different calculation, how a person is mechuyev and obligated and supposed to be acting in that particular time. A person cannot just be, you know, I am this person. You know, that's very difficult to describe Reb Chaim Brisker. Reb Chaim Brisker, was he a gentle person? Was he a strict person? The answer was, you couldn't identify who he was. He was an Eved Hashem. It's very hard to identify his character, because the character completely changed exactly what the situation needed. So the Pasuk is telling us over here, the first initial act of, in order to motivate a Pinchas, is to get the motive clear, to be able to identify what has to be done clearly. Why am I doing it? What has to be done? And therefore, what is incumbent upon me to be acting in this particular time? That is a first stage. The first stage is motive. Now listen to this, Rabbi Yisai. The Pasuk carries on. The Pasuk says, "Bekamlo yeskinosh Pinchas ben Azma Aaron Hakohen heishives chamosim al bnei Yisrael." He took back my anger from bnei Yisrael. "Bekamlo eskenisi b'soichom." "Bekamlo eskenisi." What does that mean? "Bekamlo eskinosh." Sorry, "Bekamlo eskinosi." What does that mean? "Bekamlo eskinosi." Literally translated, when he was jealous for my jealousy. Says Rashi, "Bekamoy es kenosi." Read it, "Benikmoy es nikmosi." When he revenged my revenge. Why? Why does Rashi explain it from jealousy to revenge? So Mefarshim explains this. Chum explains that it's impossible to translate jealousy with regard to Pinchas. Jealousy is when a person is angry with somebody else, when he is has a hatred towards somebody else. Pinchas did not have hatred over here. It was a shame shemayim. And therefore Rashi says, "Bekanas kenasi," translate to me, "Menokmeis nikmosi," when he revenged my revenge. So the obvious kasher is, if you're changing pshat from "Bekanas kenasi," and you mean to say "Benokmeis nikmosi," say "Benokmeis nikmosi." When he revenged my revenge. When he revenged my revenge, not when he was jealous of my jealousy. Say that as ben posuk. Why actually use these words and translate it differently and put in those words? That's what it means. So listen to this fantastic yisoid. It's a beautiful, beautiful yisoid. It's from the Chasam Sefer, and the Harsin al Torah brings it as well. The Chofetz Chaim says, "Ma'oivai techakmeni," from my enemies I become wise. What does that mean? My enemies I become wise. Says the Chofetz Chaim, the way to win a war is not necessarily only to focus on your own strengths. A wise army will be able to study the strengths of the opposing army and use their tactics as their own. Now recently, there was a spy satellite plane that crashed over Iran. An American spy satellite plane that crashed over Iran. And the Iranians were asked to give it back, but of course they aren't. And they're studying it. And they're working out how on earth you get such a thing to fly, and how do you get such a thing to spy, and how do you get such a thing to be able to transfer data. And it's a fantastic, fantastic catch. It's an unbelievable catch. Years and years of study, they've managed to steal the secrets from an actual prototype. So, ma'oibay techakmeni, for my enemies I can become wise. For example, you know, the Bala Musa always say, the Yitzhak Horus says to you in the morning, "You can't get up, you're an old man. You can't get up, it's cold outside." So what do you say to Yitzhak Horus? Shlomo Melech said, "You're a melech ksil, zokinu ksil. You're an old man, Yitzhak Horus. You come to me this early in the morning, so I can get up as well." Using Yitzhak Horus' wisdom and use it as your own. Yetzer Hara says, "Do a mitzvah." "Yeah, I don't mind, but not now. Do it next week." "Fine. Yetzer Hara, you're telling me to do an Avera? I'll do it. But you know what? I'll do it next week." Use the tactics that Yetzer Hara has as your own. "Ma'oyivai techakmeni, for my enemies have become wise." Rabbi Ella Lapian was by the Chofetz Chaim for one Shabbos in his life. And he said the following vot. Very, very powerful vot. "Eis lasois Lashem heferu sorasecho." There's a time to do for Hashem, heferus soira sechel, as it were, to go against his Torah. Very dangerous statement. But what it means is, there are certain times of horas shah that we're allowed to change, allowed to deviate for the sake of keeping Torah alive. You know, Torah Shabbat Peh should never be written down. So Chazal use that in order to keep Torah alive. Eis lasis Hashem heferus soira sechel. Now, the Loshon Heferu Soira Sechel, Sintinim Kuf Yud Ches. What's Peshat Heferu Soira Sechel? Now, do you know the difference between Hafara and a Heter? Next week's Parasha is Parashas Mato, it speaks about Nadorim. There's a din of Matir Neder and Hafara Nadorim. What's the difference? The difference is that a Baal, a husband or father, if they hear that the wife or the daughter made a neder, they don't need to go and psychoanalyze exactly why she did it and be able to look into it and why and what if you would have known, etc. They don't want it. Finish. What do they say? Mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. Finish. We don't want it. That's it. But if a person goes to a Talmud Chochem or Yochid Mumcha or three base or Basin or three, whatever, and he wishes them to be matir his neder, they're not matter it, they're mefer it. What do? They can't say, we don't want it, finish, that's it. They've got to find a Pesach. They've got to philosophize, if you would have known that you'd be in this position, would you have done it? No, I've never made this neder. Fine, that is a Pesach for neder. So they've got to look into it and find a Pesach for it. But without that, they can't do it. So a father or a husband is matir neder, and a chochem is mefer neder. Now, says the Chofetz Chaim, in the previous generations, I don't know, the time of the Ramban, the time of Rabbeinu and Eibeshitz, the Goyim even, the priests, certainly the Chilonim, fought against Torah with a philosophy. They had debates, they had grand debates, the Ramban had a big debate, look in the Kuzari, the debate that's going on, yeah, there were big debates going all the way through history, and there were debates with proofs from the Torah. Even recently, the Bayless case, where with Meir Shapiro, where they said, how can you, we can understand why Jews are allowed to kill non-Jews, because it says, Atem Kriim Odom, because you're called Odom, you're called humans, as it were, and they're not called humans, and Haim Noi Kriim Odom, Goyim aren't called humans, and therefore that's why you can kill them, they got wrong pshat, whatever it is, but it was based on Gomorrahs, and Rambams, and Kuzaris. They had a basis, as an intellectual basis. Today, people going off the derech, don't come along and say, no, I'm going off the derech, because I don't understand the Rambam's din in Bechira. I don't understand it, and therefore I'm going off. People go off because they want to. And leave me alone, I'm doing what I want to do. It's a different world today. It's a different fight today. If that's the case, says the Chofetz Chaim, one's got to fight against the world in the same way the world fights against Torah. He said, if until now, we fought against the world with philosophy, against philosophers. Today, it's a different world. Today is no longer a haforas nedarim. Sorry, today is no longer... Uh-huh. Yeah, it used to be a haforas nedarim. What's haforas nedarim? Sorry, wrong way. The father and the husband are mefer neder, and the rav is matir neder. Sorry, wrong. So the father is finished, I don't want it. The husband is finished, I don't want it. That is called mefer, and the rav is matir. Mutaloch, mutaloch, mutaloch. Says the Chofetz Chaim, today is a different world. Today is Eis Lasis Lashem. How should we fight with the Rabbeinu Shalom's Torah? How should we fight with it? The whole world is mefer the Torah. What is mefer the Torah? Not philosophizing. They're just like the father. We don't want it. Finished. We're out of this. I'm going off to derech. I've got a taiva. And therefore, we, within Klal Yisrael, have to eis lasis Hashem in the same way. Hefer usay yosecha. Use the Torah as if it's mufaloch, mufaloch. You know why I'm keeping the Torah? Because I'm keeping it. You don't like it? Tough luck. I'm keeping the Torah. You don't have to explain everything to everybody. Everybody is so hefka, doing whatever they want. I'm doing whatever I want as well. You walk around with that hat, I'm walking around with this hat. Why do Jews walk around with black hats? You know what? Ask every person on the subway in London why each one's walking around with a different hat. Ask a Rastafarian why he walks around with his hat, and he walks around with his hat. I'm doing whatever I want to do. Finished. Ei sa'asu Hashem, why? Hey, feiras harasechel. I'm like the father. Finished. That's what I want to do. That's it. I'm not answering any questions anymore. That's what I want to do. Now, I remember as a child, I went once to a specialist in the West End, and I had my school cap on. And as I walked in, he's an old school, you know, you can imagine that in the West End, in the Carly Street, it's like the old school professors there. As I walk in, he doesn't even say good morning to me, he takes my cap and he throws it on the floor right across the room. He says, when you come into me, you have a bit of respect. Yeah, you don't walk into a speak to a doctor with your hat on your head, with your cap on your head. So I was very upset. My mother was very upset. Anyway, but that was like, that's a normal thing you do. You know, you're still paying a man £100 for half an hour. But fine. Today, you wouldn't dare do such a thing. Wouldn't dare. Each person coming with another crazy hat, with a hat back and a hat forward and a hat up and a hat down. And that's it. You don't do such a thing. It's a different world today. We have to learn from the world, the way they treat us, flip it around and treat them the same way. People ask, why do Chareidim do this? Because I want to. That's why. If you want to encourage them and get them over to your side, fine. If they attack you, why do you want to do it? Because I want to. Or why do you want to do it? Because that's what you want to do. Finished. We don't have to answer so many questions anymore today. Pinchas, listen to this. Pinchas saw what's going on with his terrible, terrible Aveira Zimri. He thinks to himself, how can I, a little nothing, go along and do such a terrible thing? How can I go along, as far as the world is concerned, take a spear and kill somebody? How do I get this chutzpah? Who am I? People have been calling me Ben Putti all the way since I was in the playground. So how can I, little Yud, stand up against a Shevet Nosi Shebi Sol, 250-year-old God Lador? How can I do that? What gave him the strength? The Teretz is Bekamnoi Es Kinosi, the Pasuk says. He was jealous. He said, huh? If this person, if this Nasi can have such a chutzpah to do what he's doing, I'm jealous. I want that chutzpah as well. I'm going to also work with that chutzpah. And I'm going to be as chutzpahdik as him. If he can do that, I can do that too. If he can do znus in public, I can kill him in public. And that's what gave him his strength. Bekamnoi Es Kinosi. The Pasuk says, how did he get his strength? He learnt it from him. He was jealous. There's no reason why he should have the chutzpah, not me. If he can use a chutzpah for against the Kodesh Baruch Hu, I can use a chutzpah for Ribbono Shleilam. Have it os kanomer. The strength that we can have from the world, when the world has such azus, when the world is so stooped in looking after themselves, is flipping it round and saying, if the world can do whatever they want and not answer to anybody, I can do whatever I want and not answer to anybody either. I can keep the Torah mitzvahs and that's it. You know, if you go to the into the airport and the people are taking out the prayer mats and doing Koreim Rishtachavim, yeah, in the middle of five times a day when they're waiting for a plane, I can daven with a talisman filled in the corner. If they can, I can. I'm going to be anyone different to them. I'm going to apologize. Finish, it's a different world today. Hey, fit. That's what the Pasuk saying. So beforehand we talked about the motive. The motive is what gets a person going. Motive is what gets a person into gear of being in the position of doing something. But how does he do it? Where does he get the strength to do it? That is a kanoi eskenosi. That is the ability to learn from the other person. If the world can be so brazen, I can be brazen too. I can do this as Shem Shemayim too. That is a kliach that Pinchas had. Bekanes kenosi. Bekanes kenosi how? Benokim es nikmosi. He did. Bekanes kenosi did in the comma. Beautiful, beautiful pshat. That's what he said it many times. Yaakov Avinu says to Esav, Im not agarti, v'tarig mitzvah shemarti, v'lo limadati m'maisev horoim. He's telling Esav, as by Lavan, I did a 613 mitzvahs, I never learned from his bad ways. How's it going to help you, Yaakov? Esav hates you for being a tzaddik, because as long as you're the tzaddik, Esav doesn't get his bracha. So what he's saying, I never learned from his bad ways. Be quiet, don't say it. To the Blade Gurvitz, that I've by love on all these years, and I never learnt to do mitzvahs with the same enthusiasm that Lavan does his averus. I should have learnt to use my head in all the ins and outs to be able to do the mitzvahs the same ways as Lavan is able to corrupt. That's Lavan Gati. But don't worry, Esau, I'm not such a great tzaddik. I have not learnt yet from Lavan how to do things the right way. We call Melumda Hiskalti and even Ma'oiva Techakmeni. From an enemy, you get your wisdom. And that is how Pinchas was able to reach where he reached with the Kanes Kenosi. I'll just finish off. The Pasuk says, Hinini Noisin Lais Brisi Sholim. What does it mean, Hinini Noisin Lais Es Brisi Sholim? What's this Brisi Sholim? What does it mean? Hinini Noisin, I'm giving him Brisi Sholim. What does that mean? So there's various different pshatim. Rashi said Bris Yishalom means it's like Ka Odom Hamachzik Toiva. It's like sending him a Shalom telegraph. Thank you very much for doing what you do. It's Bris Yishalom, I'm making a bond of Shalom. Fine. It's a kind of a peace letter, a certificate of peace, of recognition for what you did. Fine. The Targum Yonason brings a beautiful pshat. Targum Yonason says, "B'shvua emalei min shemi, tell him shvua my name. Hanog zarle, I have commanded upon him, yas keyomei shalam, that he will remain whole. V'ya ibdine malach kayom, and he will be a malach who will be forever. V'yechei la'alma, and he'll live forever. L'mevasra ge'ulta b'seif yamaya." To be able to tell us about the Geula in the day, in the end of days. In other words, he'll live forever. He'll be Eliyahu Hanavi. That's Bris Yishalom. Bris Yishalom means he'll be Eliyahu Hanavi. That's the Targum Yonason. The Ponim, and the Zohar Kodesh says, by the way, Zohar Kodesh says that when Zimri, when Pinchas did what he did to Zimri, he was so afraid that Porcho Nishmosi, he died. The Nichnas and came inside in the Nishmas Nodav Aviyu, and that's how he became a Kohen again. The Zohar Kodesh. That his neshama what left him, and the Porach came into him, the neshama of Nodav Hanaviyu. So that's how he became a Kohen. And he became, Pinchas became a new person. He became Eliyahu Hanavi. That brought down Yoyinson ben Azil. The Ponim Office actually says, it doesn't usually do this, Ponim Office, it says, Gematria of Bris Yishalom is Nodav Hanaviyu Eliyahu Hanavi. Okay, that's what he brings down. So I want to ask you, what does it mean Bris Yishalom according to this? According to Rashi, Bris Yishalom means a salutation of peace. Fine, I'm telling you, I appreciate and I am able to give you a gesture that is a peaceful gesture, that you did a fantastic thing, here's your certificate of peace. But according to Targum Yonason, what has Bris Yishalom got to do with Eliyahu Hanavi? So he says maybe at the end of days, he's in Mevasa the Geula. And you can say, Peshat, perhaps, what's the Pasuk say? The Eliyahu will come along and bring Shalom to the world. Okay, but it's Peshat in the Pasuk. Hinni noisim nois Bris Yishalom. What's it got to do with that you'll live forever? What does that mean? Says it's a foreigner, a beautiful Peshat. Says it's a foreigner, why is it that things wear out? Why is it that machines break down? You know, there's such a thing we call of inbuilt, what's it called? Inbuilt obsolescence. Yeah? The machines break down after a while. Why do cars break down? Says the Sephorno, Ha-hefsid la-yikra ela besibas hisnagdus ha-hafeichim. The only reason why things get worn out is because there's friction. And the friction, the screws rubbing against each other, and the blades rubbing against each other, or the tires, whatever it is, there's friction, and the friction wears something out. That's why machines get worn out. And that's why eventually you've got to throw away your washing machine. Because it's got worn out, there's friction that's rubbing against it and it gets worn out. If there'd be perfect harmony in the machine, they'd never get worn out. Says the Sephorna, why is it that people die? Why? Why is it? If a person got run over, that's one thing. But why is that a person dies of old age? Because there is a lack of harmony. There's a friction with inside him that rubs against, the body's rubbing against each other. And by doing so, it eventually wears down the body until it dies. If a body did not have any friction inside it, it would live forever. Says the Sephorna, Hinini noisin nois bris yishalom. I'm going to give you shalom. I'm going to give you, Pinchas, such internal harmony. You're going to feel so at peace with yourself, so at peace with what you did, so in perfect control of your emotions that you'll not have any internal friction whatsoever, and therefore, automatically, you can live forever. Because there's nothing that's going to wear you down. That's Bris Yishalom. Bris Yishalom is, I'll give you Shalom, and therefore, explains again the same as you, you'll live forever. What we're saying over here is that the only thing that is able to detract, to take a person away from doing the impossible, is internal conflict. What's he saying about what I'm doing? What should I, perhaps not, perhaps yes. If you have absolute clarity that what you're doing is correct, your motive is correct, you know that is what you've been taught, that's what you should be doing. If you have the tools to deal with it, and if you don't have the tools yourself, learn from your surroundings, even from your enemies. And learn to take these tools on and build yourself with those tools. If you're absolutely clear with what you're doing, you have no friction, you'll be able to carry on forever with what you're doing. Nothing will be able to stop you. Nothing. This is the limit of this parasha. Pinchas became great by focus, by having the correct tools, and by being clear of his motive. Being clear of what he has to do and not having any internal friction. So I'm going to finish off. The Medrash says that there were 12 nisim that happened to Pinchas. And it talks about the different 12 nisim, that he managed to stab them both at the same time, and the spear never broke when he picked them up. 12 nisim. So Reb Bergman and Zichron Meir asks, why is it so important that we hear about the 12 nisim? Okay, it happened, big deal. Why is it so important? The teretz is that we have to learn that in our day-to-day life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do nisim if we are Pinchas. If we do what's right, forgetting about the odds, forgetting how crazy people think we are, even stand up against the abuse, Ben Putizeh, we stand up and we do what we have to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do every ness necessary in order to make this happen. I believe the word ness and necessary is very, very much together. We do what we have to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do the rest. The Medrash shows us there's no such thing as I can't. One can if one has the ability within oneself, with the focus and the tools and the harmony within oneself to carry on forever. You know, Shach, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, once came to Eish HaTorah. Reb Noach, Zechon Levracha, made a bris. And Reb Shach looked around the base of Medrash.
That's about Shuvah.
Yeah, you know the story? Are you, he said, where are you from? Are you about Shuvah? Yeah, I'm about Shuvah. Another boy, you're Baal Tshuva, psh, you're Baal Tshuva, you're Baal Tshuva, wow, it's unbelievable, all Baal Tshuva. So Shach said then, with what's going on in the world with intermarriage, and the world falling apart in different places of the world, if one person has ability to kill 6 million Jews in the Holocaust, then one person is able to save 6 million Jews in today's Holocaust of assimilation. That has been the Eish HaTorah. I once got a little picture of Eish HaTorah when I was working there, Shach's visit. If one man can save 6 million, one man can kill 6 million, one man can save 6 million. How can it be? Because a person has the meshugana, the crazy passion, like Reb Noach had. Crazy passion on his deathbed. He could hardly talk. He was speaking to Reb Yitzchak Berkowitz Shlita about new shticks on how to do kiruv. He could hardly talk. There's nothing left to him, and he was talking about a new idea he had of how to do kiruv. Because he knew that was important. He learned the tools from himself and from other people. And he never had the internal friction, the internal debate. He was completely sholim. Noach used to say that his greatest hero was somebody who never learned a daf gemara. His greatest hero was somebody who never entered a day in yeshiva. Who was that? Who was that? Sara Schneira. Sara Schneira was the seamstress that ultimately was a mother, as it were, of Beis Yaakov. The Beis Yaakov movement, a Polish seamstress, very intelligent woman. But she's going to start now a whole educational system for girls that has changed the world, that has impacted the world to the extent that the kollelim and the yeshivas today are flourishing because of her. Who is she? She wasn't a godly girl. She never spent a day in yeshiva. But she was able, with her passion, with her motivation, with the correct tools, with the idea that she's doing the right thing, to change the whole tide of Jewish education. Every one of us can be a Pinchas. We've got to know who we are. We've got to know what has to be done. We've got to have the tools to do with it, deal with it, and be able, with Siyata Dishmaya, with Nisim sometimes, to be able to continue on that path forever and ever.